Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find at the lower part of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah describes what we have been learning about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, what actually took place there in the festivities surrounding the water libations of the Sukkot holiday. On the side, we have under our Nosar topic heading, Tiur Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Tiur is a description of the festivities of that festival. The Mishnah, Kol mi shelo ro'o Simchas Beis HaShoeva, anyone who did not behold the festivities at the water drawing ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash, lo ro'o Simcha miyomov, he has never seen true rejoicing. B'moitzoi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, the night after the first day of Sukkot, Yordu LeEzras Noshim U'Mesaknin Shom Tikun Godol, they would descend from the Ezras Yisrael, the Kohanim and Levim that were in the Ezras Yisrael, that's the main courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And as many of you are familiar, the Beis HaMikdash is built on what's in English called the Temple Mount. Well, mount, as in mountain, indicates a high point and a slope downwards. So the Beis HaMikdash itself was located at the highest point of the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. From the temple courtyard, there was a descent into a lower courtyard known as the Ezras Noshim. So the Kohanim and Levim that were in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash descended into this lower courtyard, the Ezras Noshim, and there's a phrase, U'mesaknin shom tikun gadol, they made a major repair. That, however, we'll have to wait till the Gemara to understand. Menorahs shel zahav hayu sham, there were candelabras of gold there. The arba sfeilim shel zahav b'rosh shehem, there were four cups that would hold oil at the top of these candelabras. So what you have to imagine a very tall pole with an arrangement at the top, as you would see in a candelabra, holding four cups, and they would have to be filled with oil. V'arba'os sulamos l'chol echod v'echod. There were four ladders for each candelabra. The arba yolodim mipirchei kohuna, and four children from the young kohanim. Pirchei kohuna indicates the young kohanim. Uvideim kadim shel meo v'esrim lug, and each one had were in their hands. There were pitchers holding 120 lug. That's a liquid measure. Shehein matilin l'chol seifel v'seifel. The contents of these pitchers would then be poured into each one of the cups. Now, the Mishnah goes on to describe the wicks. Mibloei michnasei kohanim. Bloei are worn out. From the worn out kohanim clothing pants, umehimainehen, and from their belts, the avnate, mehen hoyu mafkin, they would tear these apart and make them into wicks. The uvohen hoyu madlikin, and they were lit. The lo hoya chotzer b'Yerushalayim she'eno meira meor beis hashoeva. There was no courtyard in Jerusalem that was not illuminated through the light cast from these candelabras that were lit for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And now a description of the physical joy that took place. Chasidim v'anshei ma'ase hayu meraktin b'fneihem. The pious ones and men of great deeds, the leading people, they were the ones that danced in front of the public. The avukos shel or shibidehem. Rashi describes their talent in juggling. They juggled torches, lit torches, and Rashi goes so far as to say that some they had the skill to juggle four, and some were able to juggle eight torches at one time. Quite a feat. The oimrim lifneim divrei shiros v'sushbachos, and they sang praise at this occasion. Valavim bekinoros mevolim v'tzayim v'chatzotzrots ubekleishir below mispar. And the Levium held and played these musical instruments that the Mishnah just listed off, and instruments without any number, means a vast number. Al Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alois Hayordos Me'ezras Yisrael Le'ezras Noshim. The Levium stood playing their instruments on 15 stairs that descended from the temple courtyard down to the Ezras Noshim, the what's technically we can call the women's courtyard. Keneged Chomesh Esrei Shir Hamalu Shibadihilim, the 15 stairs were in honor of the 15 passages in the Book of Psalms, beginning with the words Shir Hamalois. Shaleim Levim Oimdim Beklei Shir Vomim Shir. Upon those stairs, the Levim, on the occasion of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, stood there and said there and recited their song. The Omdu Shnei Kohanim Bishar HaElyon Shiorei Me'ezras Yisrael Le'ezras Noshim. Two Kohanim stood at the upper gate that led out of the temple courtyard, the Ezras Yisrael, down to the Ezras Noshim. V'Shnei Chatzotzros Bideim, they had two trumpets in their hands. Korah HaGever, someone would make an announcement and say and tell them to start blowing. Toku V'Heriu V'Toku, and they blew a tekiah blast, and then a trua blast, and again a tekiah blast. Hegiu le malo asiris, they reached the 10th stair. Toku vario vatoku, again a trumpeting blast. Hegiu le es vazora, toku vario vatoku, and they reached the azora and the Ezras Noshim, and they again blew. And they would continue trumpeting until they reached the gate that went out of the Beis HaMikdash, an eastern gate. The Rashi explains V'hoyutokin v'holchin be'elu sholosh achronos, with regard to the last three blasts, marichin, they blew a long time. Ad she magin l'shar yotzim Ezras Noshim l'harabais, until they got to the gate that led from the Ezras Noshim, the women's courtyard, out to the Temple Mount. L'shipulo l'mizrach, there was further descent on the eastern side. Vashar hahu mechuvan keneged shar shem Ezras Yisrael Ezras Noshim. The gates were aligned so that this gate that left the Ezras Noshim down to the Har HaBayis was aligned with the upper gate leading from the Ezras Noshim to the Ezras Yisrael. V'yordim mimarov lemizrach, and the direction that they were walking was from west to east. This was an eastern direction. U'v'shoyu nichnosim lemikdash hu'yohochem mimizrach lemarov derech aliyah, and the opposite is also the case. When people would enter the Beis HaMikdash, they would enter from the eastern gate and walk westerly, and then you would be walking on an incline going upwards toward the Beis HaMikdash from east to west. The Mishnah continues, Higiu l'shar hayoytze mimizrach. They reached the gate that left the Ezras Noshim to the Har HaBayis. on the eastern side, Hofchu Pneim Mi Mizrach Limarov, and up till this point they were facing east with their backs to the west, and here they turned around from what they were originally facing east to now facing the west, the Omru, and they announced, Avosenu Shoyu B'mokom Hazeh, our forebears, and this is a reference to the first temple period. In other words, our mission is describing what took place in the second temple period. So they, at the point that they reached the eastern gate, leaving the Ezras Noshim, they made reference to the earlier generation in the first temple period that were heretics. And they went on to say, and we reading in the Mishnah, Achoreim el ha'echal ufneim kedmo mishtachavim kedmo la'shemesh. They would stand with their posteriors toward the Heichal, toward the Beis HaMikdash, with their faces facing east. U'mishtachavim kedmo la'shemesh means, and they would bow in the Beis HaMikdash. They would bow eastwards with their backs to the built part, to the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash, which housed the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So their backs were facing the Beis HaMikdash, and their faces front was facing east, facing where the sun rises. An act of absolute heresy, bowing away from the Beis HaMikdash, bowing to the sun. V'anu l'ka einenu, and we, however, our eyes are toward the Almighty. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hoyushonin v'omrim. Rabbi Yehuda says they would say it in a doubled fashion. They would say anu l'ka l'ka einenu. We are unto the Almighty, and unto the Almighty are our eyes. Before we continue in the Gemara, you'll see that there's some double underlining that takes place, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, we've indicated that this highlights the expression Misha lo ra'ah, etc. Lo ra'ah, you'll see that basically means anyone who didn't see whatever is described in each case never saw anything then that's in that realm. And we will see as we go on in the Gemara, we've listed the different items. The one is Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Anyone who didn't see Simchas Beis HaShoeva never saw Simcha in his life. Yushalayim B'Tifarta, no, anyone who didn't see Jerusalem when it was in its glory. And then the third is anyone who didn't see the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. They never saw a beautiful building in his life. And number four, anyone who didn't see the great synagogue of Alexandria of Mitzrayim, then never saw the honor of Israel. And the Gemara will explain, will describe that synagogue and explain why it was destroyed. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Misha lo ra simchas beis ha-shoeva, lo ra simcha miyamav. Anyone who did not behold the rejoicing at the water drawing ceremonies in the Beis HaMikdash never saw true rejoicing. Misha lo ra Yushalayim b'tifarta, lo ra kirach nechmad me'olam. Anyone who didn't see Jerusalem in its glory, they never really saw a magnificent city. Mi shelo ra Beis HaMikdash b'vinyanoi, lo ra binyan mefur me'olam. Anyone who did not see the Beis HaMikdash while it was standing never saw a beautiful structure. My he, which Beis HaMikdash are you referring to? After all, there was the first Beis HaMikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech. There was a second Beis HaMikdash built by Nehemiah. And afterwards, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash era, there was the temple built by Hurdus, known in English as Herod the King. So which Beis HaMikdash is this Tanaic source referring to? Amar Abaye, V'i Teimo Rav Chisda, Abaye, and some say Rav Chisda, Ze Binyan Hordus. They're referring to the structure that was built by Herod. B'mai Banya, how did he build it? With what materials? Amar Rava, there are two versions. B'avne Shisha Umir Mara. Shisha is a type of marble that has a color to it. Rashi says wasn't white and it wasn't black. It was something between, maybe some type of green or yellow green color. Mirmara is a white marble. Ika diamri, another version is Bavne Shisha Kuchla Umirmura. Here he's adding Kuchla, type of blue stone, so that you would have white, blue, and possibly something green. Apik Safa V'ayil Safa, the rows of stones were staggered, in the sense that one row was out and one row was set in, the next row set out again, and another row in and out, forming the walls. Ki hechi delikbel sida. By doing this, the cement that held each row in place would hold in a more firm fashion. Savar lemishain be dahava. Herod thought that maybe he should coat it with gold. Omru le rabbanon, the rabbis of his times told him, shafke, don't coat it with gold, leave it as it is. Tochi shapir tvei. This is more eye appealing. De mischazi, it appears ke advisa dioma, it appears as the waves of the sea. In other words, the eye beholding this and the eye movement that's involved in appreciating this gave one the impression of waves of the sea. Tanya, Reb Yehuda Omer Misha Lora du Plustone Shalaksandra Shemitzrayim Lora Bechvodon Shisrael. Anyone who didn't see the great synagogue of Alexandria did not see the honor of the Jews. Now, the word du Plustone is actually made of, is a Greek word made of three, it's a attaching three words together. The word du has to do with two, like duo. Plu is an expression indicating officers or ministers. And that's plu. And then stone is a, Rashi says, Loshon stov, shnei stovin. We've seen stov in a different context, as the Harabayas had a stov kaful, and there we explained it meant a series of benches that surrounded, in the case of the Harabayas, that surrounded the wall from the inside of the wall of the Harabayas. There was a double set of benches. So du Plustone is a reference to in our case, you'll see as the source goes on, it's a reference to a very great synagogue. So anyone who didn't see that, the Jewish great synagogue of Alexandria, never saw the honor of the Jewish people. Omru, it was said, Kimin Besilki Gedola Haisa. A Besilki, Rashi says, Paltirin Gevoyim Nikroim Besilkos. Very high structure, a tall structure is called Besilki. So it was a very tall structure. Stov lifnim mistov. This expression, as we alluded to just a moment before, indicated that it would have a double set of benches. I've seen explanations elsewhere. In English translations, it's a double colonnade. Shahoyu ba, and it was in this structure, kiflayim kiyotz mitzrayim. An amazing number of people could fit in there. Kiflayim is twice the number that exited Egypt. Well, we know the Torah records the number 600,000 Jews. There, technically speaking, it was 600,000 males above the age of 20, but it's a number that's associated with the Jewish population at the departure of Mitzrayim. The number 600,000 is used. So this Kiflaim would be 1.2 million people. Vayuba Shivim Vechot Kathedrois Shel Zahav. There were 71 Kathedros. It might indicate some type of section or enclosed area. There were 71 of these that were surrounded by gold. And the number 71 is keneged shivim vechot zikanim, in a reference to the 71 sages. Rashi says keneged shivim vechot zikanim sheosu lohem sanhedrin, that comprised the great court. Kol achas veachas eino prusa meesim veechod kikrei zahav. each one of these katedros had no less than 21 kikar is a measure, it's a large measure of gold in this case, 21 kikar of gold. Ubimo shel eitz bemtziasa, and there was a platform made of wood in the middle. The chazon hakneses oimed aleho, and the chazon Rashi says shamosh hatzibor, the shul, we'll call it in certain places you see the term sexton is used, service member of the shul would stand in the middle. The reason we're hesitating, we're not translating the word chazan is used today commonly as a cantor, but rather he was a type of custodian or sexton of the synagogue, and he stood on this platform. The hasudrin biyado, he had cloth, like little flags in his hand. Kevon shigia lanois omein, when the cantor reached the end of a brocha and it was time to say omein. This structure was so vast that there weren't microphones and loudspeakers surrounding it, so how would people at the far ends know that he reached the end of a bracha? So when he would reach the end of the bracha, haloi meinif besudar, the chazon, this sexton would wave the flag. The holom oinin omein, they had visual contact with him waving the flags, and they would know to answer omein. The lohoyu yoshvin muravim, the members of this synagogue did not sit mixed with one another. Elo, and you'll see there was a breakdown by way of a profession. Each profession and its members sat separately. Elo zahovim b'fnei atzmon, zahovim are goldsmiths, they sat by themselves. The kasofim b'fnei atzmon, people were silversmiths by themselves. V'na pochim b'fnei atzmon, blacksmiths by themselves. The tarsaim b'fnei atzmon, weavers. The Tarsayim and Gardayim, these are people that worked in the realm of let's correct ourselves. Tarsayim are coppersmiths and Gardayim are weavers. V'ksha'oni nichnas sham, and when a poor man who needed work entered this place, hoyamakir balu nuso, he would recognize, he would certainly be able to determine where people of his trade are located. Benifta l'sham, he would then turn there. The oni, the poor man, had training in one of these crafts. He would then turn to that group. Umisham parnososo, parnosos anche beso, and through that he would find work and support for himself and his household. Omar Abaye. Now, very tragically, the kulu katlinu Alexandrus Mokden. They were all eventually killed. The Alexandrian Jewish community was annihilated by Alexander the Macedonian. My time, Ancha, why did they suffer this terrible fate? After all, look how proud they were and how much they invested in their synagogue. Mishum the Avri Ahai Krah. Their punishment was because they violated the following commandment. It says, Lo sosifun loshuv v'derech hazeh oid. You are not to return back to Egypt, not to go back on the path from which you came out. In other words, don't go back to settle and dwell in Egypt. The inu hodur also, and they did go back, and you can see they went back in a big way, establishing a very impressive community with impressive communal appurtenances, and hence they were in violation of this, which led to their destruction. Ki also, when Alexander came, Ashkachinu da'avukoro b'sifro, he heard the Jews reading from the Torah, Yisoh Hashem olecha goy merochok. This is from the section of the Torah we refer to as the Toichacha, the curses. And they were reading from the Torah that Hashem will raise upon you, the Jewish people, a nation from the distance. So Alexander heard this. He then started thinking about himself, and he said, Omar, Michti Ahu Gavra, regarded, Ahu Gavra is a euphemism. It means literally that guy, but he's speaking about himself. Boy Lemesi Svinta Basora Yoimi. I was on a boat journey from my point of origin to here that should have taken 10 days. Dalia Zikovosi Svinta Bechamshi Yoimi. I experienced a tailwind that enabled me to increase my pace twofold and came here in 5 days. And he reckoned that this was divine intervention and that he was brought here to carry out the scheme of their destruction. Nofel Olayu V'kaklinu. He descended upon them and killed them all. In other words, he figured that the posuk that said Hashem will bring a nation from the distance upon the Jewish people to punish them was referring to him. B'motzoi Yom Tov v'chulei. It said in the Mishnah regarding the Ezras Noshim, it said, and they made a tikkun gadol. The Gemara asks, my tikkun gadol? What's a reference to this major tikkun, this major repairing or innovation? Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. We call a general topic heading Nosei Klali, and we indicate till noon Beis Amid Beis. It's a rather long topic that we simply call Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And you'll see as the Gemara develops why we are assigning that as the general topic. The more immediate topic, the Nosei, Hafrada ben Gvorim v'Noshim b'Beis HaMikdash, the need for separating men from women in the Beis HaMikdash. Many hear the term in the context of synagogues, separate seating. That's the basic theme of this sukkah. As we let us now first turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Elazar, in answer of the question to the question of what was tikkun gadol, so Rabbi Elazar says ka'osis shishaninu as that which was taught in the following source chaloka hoisa barishona. Initially, the Ezras Noshim was chaloka. Chaloka means smooth. No protrusions is coming from the walls of this Ezras Noshim, this courtyard. V'kfil v'hikifu gzustra v'skinu shunoshim yoshvos milamala v'anoshim milamala. And then the tikkun gadol is the building of a balcony. That's what hikifu means. They surrounded the Ezras Noshim. They surrounded it from within with a gezustra, a balcony, and they established that the women should sit upstairs, up on the balcony, and the men folk downstairs. Tonu Rabbanan. And here we deal with the same topic, just in stages. And on the side, under our Mivneh, we've noted the triangle represents Shlavim, B'Yitziras, Hafroda, D'Liel. These are stages in establishing the separation of the genders. Barishona, hoyu noshim mibifnim vanoshim mibachutz. Initially, the men were the women were mibifnim. The women were inside. That means they were in the Ezras Noshim, and the men were outside on the Temple Mount. My assumption is that we're dealing with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva and how it used to be and how things developed. It used to be that there was separation, but the women were within and the men were without. But it wasn't a successful means of keeping them from frivolous behavior. So they established that maybe we'll switch their locations and the women will sit outside and the men within. That too didn't solve the problem and they still came to frivolous behavior. they finally established, and that's what we referred to in the previous source, that the women folk will be upstairs and the men folk downstairs. The Gemara asks, Hechi Ovid Hachi? How could they do this? Meaning, how can they make a structural change if originally the walls of the Ezra's Noshim were smooth without any protrusions, without balconies? How can they make a structural change? Voksiv, there is a pasuk that says Hakol Piksav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil, in reference to the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. David HaMelech and Shlomo were taught the dimensions and the structure of the Beis Hamikdash. So it's all predetermined. How can there, in the course of time, be an innovation? Before we continue, we have a topic heading that we call Hemshech, a continuation. HaGemor Mevi'a Mokr Min HaMikro D'Chayovim Litzor HaFrada. The Gemara here will bring a posuk indicating that a change, if needed, has to be made. And in this case, we're talking about the change that is going to result in an effective separation of the genders. So it's as such, since there's a pasuk, and we know that the pasuk and all the psukim in the Tanakh are, we'll say, divinely inspired. So this is the divine will in terms of the construction of the Beis Hamikdash, and it doesn't constitute a violation of the original, what was called the original plan. For someone on his own to come and make a structural change, so that would be a violation of what the pasuk said, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem Olai Yiskil. But a change that's based on we'll call a divine will, obviously, that's okay. So what's the pasuk that reveals the need for this, for the balcony? So we continue in the Gemara. Amar Rav Kro Ashkechu V'Dorsh. They found a pasuk, and that based on that, they made the change. And on the bottom, Rashi says, Kro Ashkechu Shetzorch L'Havdil Anoshim Inoshim, that one has to separate the men from the women. V'lasas Geder B'Yisrael, and to create a fence in Israel, Shalayavo Lidei Kilkel, so as to prevent ruination. The issue at hand is a very timely issue. It's something that was relevant then and is relevant to this day. The need to keep the different genders separate in public mass gatherings, as we see here. And what's the pasuk? The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The pasuk says, "V'softa ha'aretz mishpachos mishpachos levad, mishpachas Beis David levad, uneshayim levad." Now, before getting into any details, what we see here is a situation of a eulogy. Softa means a eulogy. They're dealing with a situation involving death and burial, and here we're talking about eulogizing. And it says in this pasuk, Nesheim Levad, the women were separate. Now, what is the pasuk itself referring to? What's the hesped? What's the softa referring to? So later in the Gemara, we have little arrows to the side, so you can. Maneuver yourselves downwards a few lines, and you see the Gemara there asks in the middle of an high hesped the maya vidite, what's the nature of this hesped? So regarding that, the Gemara says the Gemara has two opinions, where Rabbi Dos and Rabbanan argue with one another. One opinion is it's a reference to the eulogy at the time of the death of Moshiach ben Yosef, who was killed, and the other one is other opinion is it's a reference to the death of the evil inclination. Rashi on the top chooses one of these opinions, and Rashi at the top says V'softa aretz b'nevuas Zecharia, in the this is a prophecy received by the prophet Zecharia, umisnabe, and he prophesizes la'osid regarding the future, sheyispedu al Moshiach ben Yosef shenerag b'mechemes goyg u'mogoyg. As you can see, that's one of the opinions later in the Gemara, referring to the Moshiach ben Yosef. These are concepts that are a bit lofty, if you will. They're a little bit removed from our general approach to the Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim, but there's a concept of a Moshiach that precedes the Moshiach ben David, the ultimate Redeemer, if you will, and he is referred to by the term Moshiach ben Yosef, and he is killed in the Milchoma of Gog Umagog. Sometimes people translate that in the War of Armageddon, but whatever the case is, these are obscure points. We're just translating in the meantime, and on the occasion of his death, his murder. In this particular war, there will be a eulogy, uksiv, and it says in the pasuk, "Mishpachas beisav levad u'shem levad, shafilu b'shas hatzar." And this we dashed underline. This is the main point of the Gemara, that even at the time of pain, of remorse, of sadness, tzorech lehavdil anoshim minoshim. This point is brought out in the Gemara. So we continue. Omru, at the end of the second line, Omru, it has been said, Valo Dvorim Kavachomer. When you read this pasuk in Zechariah, Perikud Beis, you can now make a Kavachomer, use Kavachomer logic to the Beis HaShoeva situation. Ma Leosid Lavo, She'oiskin Behesvit, V'yein Yetzor Sholit Bohem. Mind you, in the future time, when they are engaged in Hesped, a person who is engaged in eulogizing, is participating in a eulogy and feels pain and remorse, he's not likely to give in to frivolous behavior. And it's also a future time, which, and Rashi says at that time, the Yetzirah doesn't have reign anymore. So you have a situation where the evil inclination isn't even operative. And with all of that, Omro Toiro Anoshim Levad V'Noshim Levad, keep the genders separate. Achshav, She'asukin B'Simchav Yetzor Sholei Bohem. Now, in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is time much earlier than what the Pasuk describes, we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash period, when they're engaged in rejoicing, and the evil inclination has reign over them. Halachas kamo v'kamo. All the more so is their need for separation. Separation of the genders. Something to bear in mind, how far this goes. And what's particularly curious about this piece of Gemara, including using the Rashi explanation, when he describes that future situation of the Hesped, as a time in the future when what we understand the standard evil inclination doesn't have reign. The question, and I don't have an answer for it at this point, but it's amazing to note that even then the genders must be kept separate. What exactly is the reason for that? It's not revealed here, but it's certainly, we'll say it's the will. It's a pasuk in the Nevi'im, so it's divine will that the genders should be kept separate, and the Kal Vachomer still stands. And mind you, in a case where there isn't any obvious need for separating the genders, they shall still be separated. When there is need for separating, then all the more so they must be separated. And as a result of that, the people at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash saw the need for establishing a balcony. We said at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, I have to retract that. I don't know for sure which time period it is, but it was a time period later than the initial construction, because we saw at the initial construction, the men were outside and the women inside, and then vice, and then it switched to sometime later, this balcony was built. But suffice it to say, the need for the balcony is a result of this Kal Vachomer, and hence, as we said before, there is no violation of the rule conveyed in the first Pasuk, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Olai Yizkil. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.